It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Have you ever wanted to learn more about woodworking, art, music, cooking? For many of us, high school might have been the first and last opportunity to do just that. We grow up, we have work and family commitments, and time slips away. But during the initial days of the COVID-19 pandemic, many of us had a lot of time on our hands and picked up new hobbies like woodworking, art, music, and cooking. And because of the lockdowns, this usually meant we were learning online rather than in person. An online setting, it's fine, it's convenient, but what if you prefer learning in a classroom? That is the idea behind a folk school. A folk school teaches a craft, focusing more on the creative and cultural processes at play, while also fostering a community setting. The tradition started in 19th century Denmark before making its way to the U.S. in the early 1900s. Folk schools quickly began to appear across the country, but there were none in Illinois. But now Illinois is set to see classes start at its first folk school this fall. It's called The Farms, located at Allerton Park and Retreat Center. We highlighted this folk school back in March, but registration for classes recently opened up. They include instruction on the guitar, dulcimer, candle painting, camping with your kids, and other topics. We were joined for this conversation by Olivia Bunting, Senior Program Coordinator at Allerton Park. Because our conversation is on tape, we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. So, Olivia, can you just talk a little bit more about the origins of folk schools? What makes a folk school different from, say, you know, community college, adult education?
Sure. As you said, in the mid-19th century, a philosopher, Grundtvig, he was also an educator. He noticed a certain portion of his countrymen who didn't necessarily have the resources and opportunities that the upper class of his country had, like traditional schooling and things like that. So he wanted to provide the poorer of his nation with the same opportunities to learn and to better themselves and their communities. And that's how the Folk High School had started during that time. And it kind of spread throughout Denmark and then came over to the United States in the early 1900s. And it just kind of progressed into a alternative space for education for adults who really wanted to learn a new craft, a way that they can improve their own lives, whether that's like a side hustle or to like build on what they already enjoy doing.
Sure. So the folk school that we've been talking about at Allerton, it's going to be called The Farms. Where does that name come from, The Farms?
Sure. Robert Allerton, who is the original owner of the Allerton Park estate, he actually called his estate The Farms when he was living here. And that name just kind of stuck. And we found John Gregg's original artwork for The Farms, his logo that he created for Robert. And we kind of adopted that and just made it into the folk school that we're trying to, or that we hope to establish here in the fall. And Robert was really big into art and nature and opening up his estate for budding artists to come out and experience his gardens and the natural areas and the farmland that he had in order to get inspiration for their own artwork.
Yeah, what a fascinating pair of people the Allertons were, Robert and John Gregg. We actually had a conversation last summer. There's somebody who wrote a book about them. For people who are not familiar with the story, it's well worth listening. Some good and bad aspects of their lives and personalities. But what sort of classes are going to be available at The Farms?
Sure. So we hope to offer quite a wide variety of classes, both on subject matter and in terms of how they are formatted. So we hope to offer like crafts, like embroidery, sewing, quilting, woodworking, maybe even cooking, all of those types, as well as things that we like to call gatherings, which are more of like a laid back version of a class, I suppose, where people who enjoy a certain topic or skill, like music or another fabric art, textile art, crocheting, knitting, what have you, where they can just come together, work on their personal projects, and learn from each other, as well as just create conversation and community within one space, and meeting new people, and just creating a happy environment where people can just enjoy being around others. And format-wise, we hope to offer classes that are multi-day, whether that's weekly. Like you come out here on Tuesdays and you learn different strategies on outdoor education, whether that's hiking or gardening or something like that. And we also hope to offer like single day workshops like we do currently. We do that right now, as well as maybe like week long immersion type classes where you can come out and stay at Allerton Mansion for the whole week and just pick up a new skill.
I was going to ask about housing, because
Yeah.
for people who are not familiar, Allerton is, what would you say? It's not midway between Champaign and Decatur, maybe a third of the way from Champaign to Decatur, but it's kind of out there in the middle of the country. But people do not necessarily have to bring a tent if they want to
Sure.
stay.
For sure. There is housing available. We've got the mansion itself, and we also have two outer buildings that are able to be rented out as like hotel rooms.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation on Illinois' first folk school. It's called The Farms, located at Allerton Park and Retreat Center. Registration for fall courses just opened up, and classes include creating a path to wholeness, improving your improv and embroidery. Joining us for this conversation was Olivia Bunting, Senior Program Coordinator at Allerton. Because our program's on tape, we're not taking your calls, but let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121, 217-300-2121. So can we talk a little bit more about what is different about learning about, say, woodworking at a folk school versus, a class at a rec center or something like that? What is there more? I mentioned that sort of philosophical, traditional understanding about what's happening. Say more about that distinction.
Sure. So folk schools are generally, like I said earlier, like non-traditional. So you don't expect to be taught by a licensed teacher. So folk schools are led by and for community members. So hypothetically, if I were really good at woodworking, which I am not, but if I was, I could apply to be a folk school instructor for woodworking, and I would share that skill and passion with other people in my community. So the difference between like learning this type of skill at a community college adult program rather than a folk school is the fact that it is led by a community member rather than a licensed certified teacher or someone who has gained professional stature in that particular skill. But that doesn't mean that we will not have those types of classes. We certainly do hope we do have those kinds of people who have their own businesses, who have their own way to teach others their own craft. It's just not a necessary, it's not necessary to have it on your resume.
Sure. So how do you hope that the farms will be different from other folk schools across the country?
Well, I think number one thing that we have in our wheelhouse is the University of Illinois, since Allerton is owned by the U of I. We do have a wealth of skill and knowledge and expertise within the university, as well as its students. And we hope to offer classes for that community, as well as have classes led by professors and grad students and PhD students and whoever wants to come out and do some research with community members as well.
I think there's something else that also intrigued me, and the Chicago Tribune had a write-up about this folk school that talked about the sort of, you know, this comes from a Western European idea. It can, the target audience can often be maybe a little whiter than modern America is, right? A little older. Mm-hmm. Pick your demographic description. And I understand that Allerton is going to be doing some things to try and be more inclusive. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And you do bring up a good point. Folk schools do tend to be white because of where it came from and where they are situated in America. So with the farms, we do hope to broaden our offerings to highlight and celebrate other cultures and their own traditions in order to enrich our own lives, because that's what Grünfig had originally intended with his folk school idea. It's very important to understand and identify your own culture and identity, but it is equally as important, if not more important, to identify and celebrate and learn from other people's cultures and traditions in order to create a cohesive environment and an accepting environment, which we really hope to accomplish with the folk school.
Well, if this sounds appealing to our listeners, how can they go about signing up? Where can they learn more?
Yeah, just head over to our website. We do have a webpage for the farms. It's under the little visit tab at the top of the page. And if you're interested in becoming an instructor, we do have a application available on that page. And it will go into a little bit more detail of what kinds of classes we are hoping to offer and what you could potentially teach. And we also have a community survey that we have put out recently just to see what people would like to learn at the folk school.
Okay. Well, we will put a link to Allerton's website and the folk school on our website, 21stshow.org, where you can also find a link to that past, as I mentioned, conversation about the backstory on Robert and John Greg Allerton, which is well worth a listen. Olivia Bunting, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about the folk school at the farms.
Thank you for having me.
And that was our conversation on Illinois' first folk school, located at Allerton Park. And that's all the time we have for our program today. We love hearing what you think about what we've been talking about, whether it's from today's program or anything in the recent past or even the distant past. Whether you liked it or didn't like it, if you think we got something wrong or something right, let us know by emailing talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org, or you can leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121, 217-300-2121. We will share some of your responses on air from time to time. You can also find that number and our email address and every other way to contact us on our website, which is 21stshow.org. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be talking about hazing following the controversy that came up from Northwestern University's football program. I realize this can be a sensitive topic, but if you would be willing to share an experience of hazing, we would love to hear from you. Email us or leave a voicemail. Again, all the ways to contact us are on our website, 21stshow.org. We'll also be talking tomorrow about the Pretrial Fairness Act, the law that ends cash bail in Illinois. It was being challenged at the Illinois Supreme Court, and just this morning, the justices came out 5-2 in favor of upholding that law. We'll take a deeper dive into that tomorrow, but once again, the Illinois Supreme Court has upheld the Pretrial Fairness Act, which is part of the broader criminal justice law changes called the Safety Act. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's program. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Nick Boyven. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.